Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Sometimes the job requires a difficulty to be borne so a testimony can be given. So bear it as long as you can. Give the testimony as long as you can. Do not slam the door on your way out. Make sure everything is in proper order. That's what he would have us do if we have such freedom. Some of these people did not have that freedom. And so he knew they were going to have to be working for other people. You can see that. If you were James, you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, here I am at my desk. I'm going to write my guys a letter. They're everywhere, all over these Bithynia and Cappadocia and all the territories he mentions in verse 1 of chapter 1. These people need to have a word. They're now out of their element. I want to drill that home. Context matters. So what he says to these people is that they need to submit themselves. And that literally means to arrange themselves under their masters. That's what it means. It's like a military term. Arrange yourself under the persons who have maybe smiled upon you or given you an ability to do something good. If you are familiar with Schindler's List, you remember that the one man who was dealing with all of the numbers for Schindler, and he was taking care of making sure things were liquidated and apportioned and put in the right place. And after a while, he got to get up and say, well, you know, I think maybe you could do this, and if you grease the hand of this guy, it'll help that way. Pretty soon, they were confidants, friends. In fact, when Schindler broke at the end, what happened is that man was there, and tears all around, right? I could have done more. But this is what happens. There becomes an endearment if there's a proper arranging. And so it's arrangement. And he is saying, arrange yourself under whoever it is that's been put in that position as a master over you. Whether they're good, agathos, that's the good, essentially good and gentle, which is reasonable, or froward. And he goes on, he says, for this is thankworthy, in verse 19, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. These two go together, these verses. Verse 20 says, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. Now, where did the do well and suffer? Well, it's kind of a thing where, you know, we've been doing well and now we lost our houses. Okay, in one sense. They could be looking at God and getting mad. Did you ever get mad at God? I think we all probably felt that one once or twice. I was like, Lord, you know, I wanted this. And maybe it didn't last too long, but just a little bit of pushback after a season. Well, God's big enough. He can take it. And he understands. And he's patient with you. But don't let that last because you need him to be holding you tightly and knowing he's there. You need to hear that voice from behind saying, this is the way. Walk in it. You can't hear that if you're angry with God. But also, sometimes he's going to have people that in their lives that are froward, and that's going to be difficult. And they're going to do all they can, and they're still going to suffer for it. So that's a thing, right? But what you need to realize is that a couple of things come out to the fore. Verse 19 says, for this is thankworthy. Greek word is charis. Greek word is charis. We get the word grace from it. If you were to trace the word for charis, it shows up in the New Testament 156 times. Of the 156 times, 130 times, it is translated grace. Favor, 6 times. Thanks, 4 times. Thank, 4 times. Thank with something else, like thanksgiving. And then twice it's pleasure and 7 times miscellaneous. But 130 out of 160 times, it's the word grace. So when he says, for this is thankworthy, you have to ask yourself, why did they translate it thankworthy? And I can tell you that there seems to be a feeling among many translators that what this is saying is that if you do right here, God will bless you. Like, God will give you favor. God will show you favor. But the reality is, he's just said in verse 9 that you are called to show forth the praises of him. And what better way to show God to other people, that glory that comes out of us, that apocalypse, that revealing of Jesus to a new group who've never heard about him before? What better way than through your difficulty being born graciously? There's only one translation that picks this up and uses it, and that is the Bible in Basic English. It says, "For it is a sign of grace if a man, desiring to do right in the eyes of God, undergoes pain as punishment for something he has not done." That's grace. Now, you understand that, right? It's grace. Jesus on the cross, he's going to get to him as an illustration of this. He's going up the hill. They're beating him with a cat of nine tails. They're mocking him, you know, and he's taking it. He's taking it all, okay? And what do you see when you watch the cross? Grace, right? So this is grace. The literal translation says, "For this is gracious." And that's a different word, by the way, but it is how the Young's literal dealt with it, and that's simply a translation by a man named Young. Okay? Young's literal translation, and he's trying to get it right. He's wrestling with the same thing I'm talking to you about right now. But it's important. Because if you understand that he says you're kicked out of your own element, your nest has been broken up, you're now in the midst of the Gentiles, things are in an upheaval, you don't have all the stuff you're used to having, you don't have a backyard shed, you don't have a mower, you don't have a car, you're just kind of bumping along trying to figure out where do I step next. But while you're out there, don't forget who you are. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And if you don't know how to do that, he says, go back to being his newborn babe. Shoot your lines from Jesus. This is the way this book works. And when he says that you are showing them grace, that is how you show them Jesus. You see, we are in a position in our world where we are having our rights assaulted that are constitutional rights. So we're in a little bit of a quandary on how to conduct ourselves. How do you do that? We are the government, okay? Even though we've been all our lifetimes feeling like they're our leaders, people have in recent days begun to point out that they're not our leaders. They're our representatives. Different word. Different thing. We don't need people who are up there making decisions for us. We, in this country, have always believed that we have the ability to make a good decision when left to the group, you know, and who we send to our offices, because we've broken it down such that maybe, even if you've got a really bad place like Los Angeles in California, and a really bad place like New York in New York, that the rest of us would be able to kind of bring it all together. That's why they want everybody in the cities, so we can all be nervous and worried about what's around every corner and hope somebody will protect us instead of spread out. By the way, President Reagan said back in his days, I just encourage you, move to the suburbs and to the country. Get out of the cities. Because he saw what was coming down the road. Also, we see in this verse, it says, this is grace. That's how I would read it. For this is grace. He says, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? If you for conscience toward God. Interesting word for conscience. It's the word sunetus. Sun means together, and atus has the idea of seeing. It means to see with God. If you have a conscience that is real, that is awake, that's got a heart of flesh, you see this world with God. Think about that. It's like your dad when you were young and they're standing at the edge of the lake and he's got his hand on your arm and he's saying, there's fish out there, son. You know? He's telling you a story about maybe what's before you. He's got his hand on your arm. Or he's telling you how to play a game. Or he's telling you, remember when you played that game on the baseball field and you did this? And he's got his hand on your arm. God is like that with you and me. That's where our conscience comes from. Sometimes he has to hold you up and say, it's okay, I'm not condemning you, I am for you. He's got his hand on your shoulder. Now the Bible is telling us that he that has a conscience toward God and endures grief, suffering wrongfully, is showing forth grace. And in verse 20 it says, for what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you should take it patiently? The word buffeted means literally punched. Somebody's punching you for your faults. Yeah, you can take that, and that might be a little bit of grace because you're not fighting back, perhaps. But he says, what glory is it? He says, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable. Same word, charis, it is grace. Now, to kind of nail the point I'm trying to make, look at verse 20 at the top. It says, for what glory is it? That word glory, I pushed that to you back in chapter 1 because he used the word glory and he used the word apocalypse and how I tried to take us to Corinthians and show us how the glory of Moses was fading away but ours is going brighter, because the Lord's in us and we're becoming more like Him. And I've been trying to show you that the apocalypse in chapter 1 is about us being in the midst of a lost world. This word for glory, it really comes from a word call, okay, kaleo, but it's a word kleos, and it means what rumor, what report is it? What rumor is it if you suffer just when you should suffer? He says, but I'm looking for a rumor, I'm looking for a report, I'm looking for glory by you showing grace to the world. So now you see what he's after. Chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should, verse 9, show forth the praises of Him. He wants you to show forth. That word is only used one time in the Bible. Only one time the word show forth is used in the Bible. It literally means that you would publish the praise of Him. How are you going to publish it? You remember that old statement, preach the gospel, preach it all the time, preach it day in and day out, and when necessary, use words. Show forth the praises. It's a word that only used once. It means to message out the praises of Him. So you see, upheaval, God's people shoved into a world that is uncertain and daunting, but they're God's people, so they should have a different disposition with such circumstances, and they are to go out there and show the world grace, because they have no idea what that is. And for anyone who would be listening, or those in the room who've never heard this before, there are three things that give a little clarity to the idea of grace. If you think of somebody breaking the law and they get justice, they go to the judge and the judge sentences them, they're either fined or imprisoned for a length of time. That's justice. Nobody begrudges justice. We understand justice. Justice is the right thing to do. Sometimes a person's done something bad and it's a breaking of the law, but because this person maybe has something that is mitigating in the situation, maybe it's the first time they ever were an offender, maybe it was a crime of passion, whatever it was, but they give them mercy when they could give them justice, right? They could go to jail, but they're not. They're going to get parole or something. They're not going to get justice. They're going to get mercy. And that's good. That's wonderful. Everybody loves a day of mercy. Mercy is a beautiful thing. But grace is beyond that. Grace is saying, I'm not going to give you justice. I'm not going to give you mercy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to put you in a position you have no business being in, because I have that much love for you. And I know you're better than that. And I am going to put you in a position of honor, in spite of the fact that you've made this mistake. Now listen, you say, well, that's hard to get my mind around. Yeah, it is, because you and I do not sometimes understand how messed up sin has made our gait, our walk, our person. It's not until you start walking with the Lord for a period of time where you're thinking, I'm going to try to be good. There's a doctrine out there called the holiness doctrine that people believe in some churches, that you can be perfect. You'll get to the place of sinless perfection. We've heard of this. And if you see a sign on the front that says Holiness Church, many times that's what they believe. And the joke has always been, just ask his wife. He's not sinlessly perfect. But the point is that that's elusive while we're here. Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man that I am. And that's Paul. So where are we, right? If he's the wretch and we're just sitting here thinking we got it going on. But see, we don't. And I've tried to bring this into a way that I can understand it. And I look at things a little differently because I'm trying to really get it down so I can be clear. This works for me. If you ever went into a neonatal ward where the children were crippled, you can imagine it in your mind, an eye that wanders, an arm that's turned sideways, drool, maybe movements that are a little glitchy and hard to see. That is how God looks at us. So I suggest to you that if you and I would see ourselves as God does, you'd understand why He would bestow grace, because He knows what He said on the cross was true. They don't know what they're doing. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.